Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I know that standing here, you know, today you are an advisor at the Independent Women's Forum and Independent Women's Voice. And as well, you're a coordinator and specialist with Early Vote Action for New Jersey's chapter there. I saw you, you know, Dan and I saw you reacting as far as Philadelphia looks like they're doubling down despite President Trump's executive orders, despite what is now the law, and Philadelphia announcing, despite what PIAA has said, that nope, they're going to go forth with their, you know, their activism, if you will, and honor the biological boys. If they want to go in sports, they can. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, I'm obviously disappointed, but I can't say that I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, Philadelphia has been an interesting place. I lived in Philadelphia during 2020. And to say that the windows being shattered on my apartment building were the least of my concerns is quite the statement. But if anyone experienced the BLM riots, mm-hmm. in 2020, I mean, this is not surprising to me. This is not surprising that Philadelphia really doubled down on Leah Thomas being on the team. I mean, the University of Pennsylvania obviously doubled down on him competing in women's sports teams. I mean, they were blasting him on the social media pages. The LGBT Center was also a huge part of this. I mean, none of this is really surprising. For me, it's just, again, it's disappointing. Philadelphia is a city with so much history. And, you know, we can't even have values and keep men out of women's sports in this wonderful city that, again, is so important to the history of America.
And also, it's a bit, first of all, it's a bit surprising to me, but as well, I guess, as Rich Scioli says, you know, the lawyers always win, that when I think of the UPenn students who are suing, saying they were damaged by these policies and they've filed suit. Now, you're not named in that lawsuit. Are you, and do you know of any others who are involved in that lawsuit?
I'm not named on the lawsuit. I do obviously know the individuals who are listed on it. I didn't know anything about it before it came out. So I honestly don't have much information at all, if I'm being quite honest, but I do know the individuals that are listed.
I just was curious if you had a reaction to it, because it was, I hate to say this because I'm not a litigious person, and you know, but I hate to say it, but maybe that, you know, all of these different lawsuits, Paula, even, you know, students in volleyball, you know, females in volleyball or basketball who've suffered injuries and that sort of thing. But as far as the Penn swimmers who lost to Leah Thomas, I know that they want, first of all, the record books to remove the biological male who competed against women, number one. But number two, the lawsuit where they're saying, you know, that their civil rights were violated. Your reaction?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think everyone who's been part of this needs to be held accountable. We're looking at the NCAA. We're looking at the Ivy League. We're looking at the University of Pennsylvania. We're looking at all of these different people in quote-unquote positions of power, and that we're supposed to be the adults in the room. They need to be held accountable for what they put all of us female athletes through. And this is not just myself. This is not just my teammates on the University of Pennsylvania. I mean, there's other Ivy League schools that went through this. I've talked to girls that went to Harvard. I've talked to girls that went to Columbia. I've talked to girls that went to Yale. And they all were silenced the same way we were. And this is widespread, not just even in the Ivy League. But this was, again, 3 years ago that this first started for us. But now we're looking at this happening across the board in other sports. I mean, we saw what happened in the NCAA volleyball. There were girls who stood together and boycotted this team with a male athlete on it out in California. And again, it was, to put this on to the girls is just so heartbreaking. They need to be focusing on their classwork, on their social lives, on their schoolwork. I mean, on their everything else that you need to do in college. It should not be up to them to be boycotting and protesting males in women's sports. And so my answer to this is really just absolutely every single group should be held accountable for this. And I really do hope to see these records change. I think this is a really big one. They need to go in and adjust the record books. And the girls who lost to Leah Thomas need to be awarded the winners and need to reallocate the points.
It's amazing to me, Paula Scanlon, that we have to have the conversation. I mean, obviously the way I report this is different than the so-called legacy media. So the headlines say, oh, Trump and others, they want to ban a small percentage of people. I don't call it a trans ban, obviously. What I'm looking at is a bigger, what I view as a, I think it's a civil rights issue to protect the rights and respect girls and women, especially in sports, but also in private places, quite frankly. How do we get beyond this? And do you think that as far as the media being a partner and complicit in this?
Absolutely, the media is a partner in this. I mean, it's just the way they've always done everything. It's twisting the words. It's changing the language. And again, that's why they've said this word ban. They say you're banning these kids from sports. These poor kids just want to compete. Well, you're not banned from sports. You're just a male that's being banned from the women's category. And that is something that they have really twisted the narrative on. And I go and I talk about this, and these people who protest and the people who object to our opinion, they're constantly telling me that you're objecting to these poor kids who just want to play their sport. Well, guess what? Everyone has a place in sports. It just needs to be done in fair sex-based categories. And I do blame the media for continuing to push this narrative. I mean, the amount of times we'll even see articles written about myself or Riley Gaines or anyone really working on this issue, and they'll say something along the lines of anti-trans activists or, transphobic this or... Why does it have to be anti-anything? The only thing we've ever stood up for in this entire situation is for the rights of women. And so to my answer, I say I'm pro-women, pro-women mm-hmm. activists, defending women's sports. And again, the way that they paint these headlines is by using the negative and trying to paint us like we are these horrible people. But that's just not fair to the situation. And again, the other thing is that the majority of Americans agree on this issue. So for them to continue to paint this, they're not even matching the interests of the American people, which is, of course, they need to get it together. If no one really agrees with this, I don't know why they're holding on to this.
And I know that you're obviously a biggity big, a coordinator for the state of New Jersey with early vote action, as now you've become this activist. First of all, I know that you never expected to become an activist or a famous person in America for this, but can you take me through, first of all, your activism, where you want to go with it, and what you hope to achieve as a coordinator in New Jersey for early vote action?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I was always political before any of this stuff happened. I was in College Republicans at Penn, and I was very quiet about it. I didn't really tell anyone really my political beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I never expected to talk about. And so I went on, and I always just expected to be a person who voted Republican but never spoke about it, which is what a lot of Americans are. And I think the results of the election show that, mm-hmm. that we won the popular vote, and yet people are afraid to admit who they voted for. And I was part of that group. And then I just told myself, okay, well, if I just talk about the sports issues, there's a few Democrats that agree. I can pretend like, maybe I'm politically ambiguous. And that was really, if you look at my early interviews, I really did not dive into anything else. I didn't really talk about Republican politics. I didn't openly admit to the fact that I voted for Trump in 2020, all those different things. But as I started to do that, it was really interesting because I started to eventually, about even almost a year into it, I basically admitted that I voted for Trump, and I lost a lot of followers because it turns out I had this following of a very small niche of people that agreed with me on the sports issues but were actually lifelong Democrats and didn't appreciate me saying anything else and having opinions about anything else. And so I started really getting into it with the people that followed me, and I actually had crazy turnover. A lot of followers unfollowed me. I gained new ones. It was really, really interesting to see that people only wanted me to talk about the sports issue if I also was quiet on everything else. And so I just, you know, going into the election, I just said, you know what, I don't really care. I'm going to say whatever I want to say about whatever I want to say it about. And I gained a lot of followers on Twitter, not just from this issue, but on a lot of other things. And so eventually that led to opportunities to continue to stay in the political world. And the newest venture that I'm part of is Early Vote Action. So for those that are unfamiliar, it's Scott Pressler's PAC. And Scott, I give him complete and full credit for flipping Pennsylvania. I mean, I truly do. You're welcome to not share that opinion, but he absolutely works so hard. Yeah. There's not that many activists that are actually out there in the field working. And I saw what he did in Pennsylvania, and of course I love that. But I also saw, interestingly, my neighboring state of New Jersey, that it flipped 11 points from 2020 to 2024. It was so close that it was in swing state margins between the Democrats and Republicans. I mean, I think Arizona was only a point or two different than New Jersey was. And I had never seen anything like that in the Northeast. And so I had started tweeting and posting about New Jersey. And I said, somebody needs to Scott Pressler New Jersey. Little did I know that the real Scott Pressler was actually looking at the same thing I was. And there was an interest for him to go in and do this. And so, of course, naturally, because I couldn't shut up about it and I kept posting about it, you know, they approached me and they said, you know, maybe there's a way we bring you on and we can do this. And so it was just something that really came up naturally. And again, I just couldn't stop talking about it. And I was even telling people my personal life about it. So it was really cool how that opportunity came up. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity to continue to help people, better people's lives. I mean, really what we've done is we go out there on the ground in New Jersey, and we listen to these people, and I get to listen to what bothers them and why they feel failed by the Democrats in the state, why they feel failed by the current governor, who's a Democrat that's been in for 8 years now. So that's something I'm grateful for. And again, I will still be working on the women's sports issue. Of course I will, but it's just interesting how all of this has played out, and all of these different things have brought me to all these opportunities and all these chances really to help listen to people and really help do the best thing for everyone. And that's what I'm so grateful for.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
And Paula, you mentioned, you know, you're talking about Scott Pressler, Pennsylvania, and he was getting new recruits, if you will, firing up the Amish community and others. You know, I had mentioned earlier, your mom, Taiwanese mom, Irish American dad. And so when I think about New Jersey, huge population, I was looking it up. I mean, not quite a million as far as the population here, but New Jersey's Asian population is quite large for on the East Coast, not quite as high as New York. But you think about this large ethnic group in New Jersey. You're beautiful. You're brilliant. You are also in the Asian community as somebody who and female. So I would imagine, you know, if any parent would look at you and say, "Oh, I wish if only she could be my daughter or daughter-in-law." But in particular, if you are in the Asian community, there's a special pride when they look at someone like you, and you have this unique opportunity to have a voice in that community. Do you feel that you're making a difference or making waves as far as New Jersey goes, and maybe getting people to vote in a different way than they have in the past?
Definitely. And that's funny you say that. When I first got on board with Scott Pressler's group, I mean, that was something I brought up, that wanting to target these communities. I have a lot of friends that are part of Asian churches in New Jersey, and they had mentioned that there's huge groups of people that just simply don't vote. And it's funny because there is actually a pretty big Taiwanese community in New Jersey. When my mom immigrated to the country, they ended up settling down in New York, but one of the communities they were looking at moving into is in northern New Jersey. And so we still have a lot of family friends out there. And so those are definitely people that either don't really engage in politics or have previously voted for Democrats. So that is absolutely something I'm looking to do. But it is funny you say that, because I have received a lot of messages from people across the board that follow me, and I'm just like, oh, you know, people will send me sweet messages. And I can't tell you how often I receive a message from somebody, usually pretty young, and they're Asian, and they're saying, I'm really appreciative of you being Asian representation in Republican politics, because they don't feel like that's something that people really are out in the world for. And that's never something I imagined I would be. When I started this, I never really thought I would be representing even like a large group of people or anyone really for that matter. And so there is desire to shift. And I think that a lot of people have felt like Asians have been discriminated against, whether it be with the college admissions scandal. I think that's really been a big thing. And I think it is a voter demographic that it's not that large, but there is a huge opportunity to really flip a lot of those voters. And that's something I bring up all the time. And people are kind of like, well, it's not that super large of a group, so it doesn't really matter. But yes, I love that you brought that up, because it is absolutely something I have my eye on. And especially in New Jersey, I think that is a place that would be good to start and see how it works. And maybe there's, you know, conversations for bringing it like larger scale into everywhere in the U.S. and just, again, targeting groups of people that feel left behind by the Democrats. And that's a lot of people, by the way, that feel left behind by them.
Definitely. How can we support you? What information, is there anything you want to promote or, you know, tell us, give us websites or where people can follow you and support everything that you're doing, Paula?
Absolutely. Well, I'm pretty active on X or Twitter, as I used to call it, Paula Y. Scanlon. But if you want to check out what we're up to in New Jersey, earlyvoteaction.com, there's opportunities to get involved being a volunteer. You can message me even on X if you're interested in volunteering, if you're sort of local in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area. We're still taking Pennsylvania volunteers too, of course. But yeah, and if you wanna go on the website and leave a donation too, we will gladly take that. It'll be used for hiring staff, getting us on the ground, us traveling to all these places. I mean, it's really a grassroots organization, but it does get expensive at times. So of course, if people want to donate, we will not complain about that. But in general, I really just am working on trying to, you know, help as many people as we can. And I think that's what we all do. And I appreciate you for always giving me the opportunity to talk with you and just, you know, really just speak my mind. And I appreciate your interest in just letting me share my story and letting me just get on here and chat.
No, Paula, I have no question. I mean, you are, when we look at the future, you know, I see you, and I will say, I know that you're brilliant. You know, you work for a financial technology company and all of that, but I suspect at some point that they will want you to run for office. You could be the first woman president. You know, I think that the sky's the limit for you. I'm really serious. So I hope that you just keep that in your brain. Just let that, obviously there are a lot of people who support you that are listening and watching us on YouTube right now. And I mean that when I say that. I see a real pathway for you, because you're a natural born leader, and you were called to this. It's not that you ever, right? You never intended this path. This is what you've been called to.
Definitely. And I think that's really what I was even thinking actually just this morning, that I have a lot of issues with my time at the University of Pennsylvania. But I know that I was put there for a reason, because nobody else was going to do exactly, I mean, each individual, everyone reacts their own way, but no one was going to do what I did with mm-hmm. this. And that's something I think about all the time. And so if anyone listening is ever in a situation where they feel like things are unpleasant, I guarantee you were put there for a reason. And it's not the circumstances or the awful things that happen to you. It's what you do with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what this is about. And I can actually look back now and be grateful for the University of Pennsylvania, because it's allowed me to open the doors to all these wonderful opportunities and really change my life. And again, my life is just not where I expected it to be, but that's not a bad thing. And so I am just grateful also for all the people who have been so supportive over the years. And I'm grateful to you, because you were actually one of the first people who really sat down and did an interview with me too. So I appreciate you so much for this, and also that you're local to the area. I mean, it's always more connections being local. I mean, I've talked to people across the country, but you really get it, because you know what I'm talking about the Pennsylvania area, and it really speaks closer to you and your audiences. So,
Paula Scanlon, thank you so much. We'll continue to follow your story and Call anytime. Thanks, Paula.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.